Hi, Emily.
Hi, Joanna. Am I one of the first people? Oh.
You are.
Oh my gosh, I'm so pumped.
I like your shirt. It's very pretty.
Oh, thanks. I'm presenting to a women's group today.
Nice. Hey, Amy. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Nell. Hey Rachel, hi Michaelin, hi Issa, hi AJ, hi Sarah, hey Sophie, Kim, hi Lane. It's so good to see everybody. Hi Veronica, hi Erin, hi Barbara. We'll give everybody a moment to settle in. And get my notes up here. Okay. So we've got another big class ahead of us. We started our creating awareness module last week. And we're going to continue today. But before we do, I'd love to hear from one or two of you, what have you been seeing or noticing this week around creating awareness, around reflecting hard truths, or if you've experimented with mirroring, either for yourself or in your client sessions. What have you been seeing? What have you been noticing? What's coming together for you? AJ.
Hello. So I had a coaching session yesterday with Wendy, my coaching buddy, and we had, each good sessions, and part of our reflection and what we noticed was, I reflected something and it was not true for her. So it was that case where I wasn't right. And it was so good for both of us that I wasn't right. It gave me this moment to really notice that I wasn't like hiding or shrinking from that feeling. And it gave her a chance to process and think and express more deeply about the topic.
To come to her own conclusions and own them for
Yeah.
herself. Beautiful, so well done all around. I love that that happened, right? That you
Yeah.
weren't right and that everybody was okay. And not only that everybody was okay, but it helped move the session. Sounds like it helped move the session forward and
For
serve
sure,
the
it
clients.
did.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. I feel like it's probably important for some of us to hear. Good. Sophie.
Yeah, I spent the weekend with a friend who's actually been a client in the past, and she was really open to me, kind of just as we talked, me practicing my coaching skills with her, which was so helpful. And I was noticing just the caliber of our conversations expanded like exponentially. The more I thought, I'm used to kind of jumping in, and I just thought, just hold it, keep asking questions. And this curiosity theme, just staying as curious as possible and watching her drop in. And then there was this readiness for when I could bring a hard truth, and I practiced that sort of, look, I'm not sure if I'm getting this right, or, I'm just going to throw something out there. And that I could feel how that sort of softened the atmosphere between us, which was quite soft anyway. But and then it allowed for her to receive, oh yeah, I think so. And it was just fascinating to watch how much more could come out from her, how much more she could express herself because of the tools I was using. And
Yeah.
she's grateful for this course too.
I love it. I love it. So many great pieces in there, not just the reflecting the hard truth and the willing to be wrong, all of that, but also what I'm hearing is that curiosity, really important, and that there's something shifting for you, Sophie, also, and not feeling like you need to jump in and fix. Or jump in and consult, there's an energetic shift happening for you.
Yeah, it's that shifting from consulting is feels so beautiful. Yeah,
Nicely
thanks.
done. Thank you. Amy.
I've been so enjoying my sessions with everyone lately, with friends and clients, framing that I want to do little 15-minute sessions with them. That feels like just the right amount of time for me to really give myself to this listening practice. And although it's actually not enough, I almost always go over, and this is always my challenge, is to hold the container time-wise. But I am keeping them shorter. And with my partner, I have been reflecting hard truths, and it's been so much fun. We're really playful with each other anyway. And I have to be careful not to be too, like it's a timing issue. I feel like I really have to time it right and really wait until he's ready for the hard truth. But I love announcing, it's time for a hard truth. Are you willing to hear it? It's been really great. I love the framing of it.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I love that. Like you're saying, like you're pre-framing, and that is another way of sometimes softening in and being open to, having that reception piece open up. Beautiful, really nicely done. Veronica.
Yeah, first, thanks for that, Amy. That made me laugh. It's time for a hard truth. I had a couple of different sessions yesterday with clients and had, in a way, similar, but also in a way, very different experiences. And it's left me reflecting on all of this. The first one was I got to try out lots of different creating awareness skills. And she had so many just spontaneous insights and reflections. And she had chills and I had chills. And it was just a fantastic, amazing session. And then the one after it is actually like a coach exchange session. And then the energy was very different. And I don't know. It wasn't that I think my approaches were similar, and nothing was completely out of left field, and our container was good, but I was noticing in myself, I think my own reactions to the energy in the room, and my own doubts coming in about my abilities and my skills to do that when it wasn't this amazing, like building, heightening, wonderful, sparkly, piece, and reflecting that it doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't land or it was the wrong thing to do or, my client didn't get something out of it, but it was just a very different feeling and a very different energy and space. So just continuing to reflect on my own feelings and what came up for me around that.
Yeah, it feels like that energetics piece really kind of came up for you in that second call. And I do wonder if a piece of it maybe also had to do with that it's a colleague versus being a client. And if it's a different feeling of an equal playing field in that way, or something was maybe going on with that, as well as what you're saying, just kind of the initial reaction to the first, like, oh, how did that land, right? So it's such a great reminder to continue to come back to our energetics. And I'll just toss this, if it lands for you, it might be valuable if you didn't already, to speak to that coaching partner and say, like, hey, I'm really curious, like, how did that session land for you? What were the pieces that resonated? What were the pieces that didn't? That might give you some also just some good information too.
Yeah, I had suspected too that that dynamic might be part of it. So I'm curious to talk to them. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Good. Emily.
Sorry, my computer just did something. Okay. So a few things that I've been noticing. One is really like this kind of keen awareness when I'm coaching who is lighting me up and who is like who's draining my battery and who's energizing me. And I have a lot of clients, and I think I've been that I just feel like a new level of courage to be able to say, you know, this person is a 9 or 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, and this person really isn't. So,
I love that.
that's been showing up. And then just in terms of like reflecting the hard truths, kind of going through that, I was doing some work on that this weekend, and I was just really present to this fragility that I've been trained in, like from as a little girl. Dad was very harsh, and mom was always like, you don't ever want to hurt anyone's feelings. So truths were talked about behind people's backs so as to protect them. And I recognize that I hold, even though I know this, like I hold my client as somewhat fragile sometimes. So I've been intentionally reminding myself in session, like this person is whole, complete, and they are not fragile, and I'm not going to break anyone. So it's just like this is not a new awareness. It's just kind of the up leveling of the awareness.
I love that. Which is one way of creating awareness, right? It's not always new, but it's that, like you're saying, that up leveling or the more deeply embodying and practicing. And I love that that's coming through and that you're going deeper. And I know that you're still holding your clients with so much care and the tenderness that they need and deserve, but that's different than, oh, this is a fragile being that can't stretch a bit. This moment. Yeah, really nicely done. And also on the first point with around just being honest with yourself about who's draining you and who's lighting you up. That's kind of next level business pieces
Thank
that can go from there. Good. Nell.
Hi. I was coaching with my buddy last week, and was just practicing, you know, real deep listening, and just, you know, she was talking about kind of boundary stuff. She was having troubles kind of setting boundaries, and so just kind of in the asking questions and being curious, and just kind of tell me more about that, say a little more, and when I kind of just did that, she just ended up saying something so profound and wise, you know, that I just kind of said, okay, freeze, you know, and I reflected that back to her, and like that was the nugget, like from the whole thing, like that was it. And it just reminded me of like I barely had to do anything, and it really came from her. And then just calling her attention to it, really, she was like, oh my God, you know, it was really powerful. So.
Yeah, I love that. And it's such a beautiful example of mirroring and the power of you know, giving the client space for sure to find what they need. But then what really can accent it is that mirroring back that, okay, freeze, right, or pause or whatever. I want you to take in what you just said, or this is what I just heard, or, you know, whatever it is. Really nicely done.
Thanks.
And Vlada.
Hi. I resonated with a lot of what the lady said, and I noticed how I start shifting around personal conversations, and that feels really enriching. But there was one particular moment where I am sort of working on tightening the container with a collaborator. And she's someone who I can, she's sort of new, maybe about 1 year working with me, but she's someone who really takes over something very passionately, although I'm clearly the leader and she's trying to help me, but she feels so passionate about the project that she feels like she wants to jump in, and she initiates all of these things that I never really asked her or expect her to do. And I had no idea that she actually feels resentful that she somehow, she didn't feel recognized in that. So it was a very convoluted dynamic. And so she had an eruption of those feelings come up, and I did my best way to keep redirecting it and getting it to a place where we can talk more structured about it. But eventually, I could see that I could see where she has the difficulty of accepting, of asking for what she needs, not overgiving. And at the same time, when it is actually given to her, she does not feel, oh, I asked for it, so it's invalid. So accepting it in the end.
Yeah.
So I was able to find a way to suggest a little piece to about that with her. And she came 180 degrees around, and oh. And she finally responded with, oh. When I presented her the way I gave credit, not only to her, but to the rest of the team, and how actually what she brought up was positive, however uncomfortable, she came totally 180 degrees around and said, I must agree, I love it. So, such a relief. I'm like, wow. Because I was sitting with this and I'm like, wow, this is, I can see that this is such a deep issue for her. And yeah. Knowing her some of her previous difficulties, I could see that this is something that's run for over a decade, at least probably all of her life.
Yeah,
so it's, I had such no hope. I was preparing to find little by little a replacement for her, although she feels invaluable. But so it was such transformation, although in this one little step. So it was really great.
Yeah, it's a beautiful example of reflecting a truth and doing it in a way where the other person can really hear it and take it in. Really nicely done. Yeah. You can just feel from your energy how beautiful it was.
Yeah, it was definitely such a relief, and I hope we continue to find ways to really turn it around more consistently.
Yeah, yeah. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Good. Good. Coaching. Such thank you for all your shares, everyone. These are just beautiful celebrations and also so instructive, just really great examples for all of us. There's one other piece before we get into the meat of today's call that I wanted for us to take a look at. We looked at you very kind of a little briefly last week. But I kind of want to go back and share again, that consulting, I like to call it facting, when it comes to creating awareness, but consulting or facting is one way of creating awareness, right? We don't want to use it a lot when we're coaching, but there are times when we just have a particular expertise or understanding of something or piece of wisdom that the client just doesn't know or doesn't have, and it is valuable and relevant to share it, right? And it can be the consulting or the facting can create so much awareness for the client, and it can run the gamut of something very technical. Like on a call yesterday, I supported a client who had never written an outreach letter to a prospect. I supported that client with some verbiage there, right? They didn't have it. I have that information. We spent a couple minutes looking at that. It was so valuable. We can run the gamut from something very technical like that in your expertise to something that's more in your, like, your general wisdom, right? Like, whether it's normalizing something that, you know, the client maybe hasn't achieved something that they thought they would achieve by now, and they think they're, you know, it's a terrible thing, and oh my gosh, what's wrong with them? Normalizing that that may not happen on the first try, right? Or share facting, consulting, sharing a piece of wisdom around how important anger is, or how it's relevant to setting boundaries, right? Maybe for a client that is not comfortable expressing their anger, et cetera, et cetera. So we do want to sometimes use consulting or facting. And what I wanted to specifically look at around this right now is, what do you do? And there's a question I'm asking to all of you, and I want to hear your answers. What do you do when a client asks you what you think about a situation? Right? Because this sometimes comes up in coaching, right? And sometimes it is appropriate to consult or fact, and then sometimes it's not. So what do you do when a client asks you, you know, sharing a situation and asks you what you think or asks you what you should do? How do you handle that? Who wants to share? Raise your hand. Jackie.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still chewing something, but this just literally came up in a session on Saturday. I was working with somebody, and we were walking through some really difficult circumstances in her life, and at one point I could tell she was just kind of sitting and reflecting on some things, and then kind of out of the blue she goes, "What do you think about blah 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 blah?" And I was so grateful for just the training calls that we've had around deep listening, because I just sat and I listened to her beyond her words and beyond her question. And I realized in that moment, like, she doesn't actually want to know what I personally think. And so I responded back to her with this simple question. I said, "Why don't you ask the question that you're really wanting to know?" Mm-hmm. And she just kind of was like, "What?" And I'm like, "I don't think that you want to know what I think about this situation. What are you actually curious about?" And she sat with that, and it was a deeper question. It's still in the same realm of what she was asking about, but it allowed her to go much deeper and to sink into her own wisdom. And then we were able to open up and guide her through to help her get to where she needed to go, rather than like,
yes.
In that moment, it just really shifted. It helped to solidify this continuous shift that I'm experiencing as we're learning about all these really powerful skills. Like, oftentimes it's not about me.
Yes.
100%. It is not about me. And when somebody asks me that, it puts me in that position. It is about me. And I'm like, whoa, not about me. So
yeah. Beautiful. So beautifully done. And so many wonderful things in there that you shared. First of all, it is like, it can be such a trap sometimes, because I am important. I want to share my opinion, right? Right. But most of the time, unless it really is like they need that fact, right? They need that consulting piece. Most of the time, it's not about that. And so what I hear you did is you set your energetics. You actually reflected a truth, right? I don't think you actually want my opinion on this. That's a reflecting of a truth. And then you asked, what is the actual question that you're wanting the answer to? Really, really beautifully done. Yeah, and a great example of how we can respond to that. Emily's saying in the chat, something that she says is, what has you ask that question? That's another great way, right? Somebody just tell you, what do you think? Or you need to tell me, right? What has you ask that question? Sophie is saying that she bounces the question back and asks them what they think first. That's another great way to respond, right? Well, let me ask you first, what do you think about it, right? Absolutely. Marianne does that as well. Barbara's saying, I think it's often a diversion. Yes, very astute. Similar, I'll just throw out a couple of other ways that you can respond. So similar to what Emily said, what has you ask that question? And along those same lines, you can also say, why is it important to get my opinion? How will my opinion help? And then sometimes if a client is just really persistent and they're like, I know, but I really just want to hear, you know, like I want to hear. I will share my opinion, like if they really do want it, but I'll preempt it first by saying, you know, my opinion is going to be my truth, but it may not be yours. So when I share this, how are you going to use this? How are you going to take it in? How will you find your truth in this? Amy's saying, you can ask, what does your inner Amy say? I love that. Yes, at first it feels flattering. Yes. Rachel's saying, sometimes I ask and have noticed that others ask when we get trapped in one right way of thinking. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So with all of that, let's jump into acknowledging. We're going to be looking at acknowledging for the rest of our time together today. And we're going to be looking at two types of acknowledging. One type I call honoring what is. And then the other type of acknowledging we're going to be looking at is celebrating. But we're going to be looking at it with depth, probably differently than you've ever looked at it before. And let's first look at honoring what is. So what even is that? What is honoring what is? Well, when clients, as they inevitably will at some points, share with us, you know, excuse my language, things that are shitty or not so great or not so savory, or any, you know, just anything that is, like I said, not so great or not so savory or painful or hard or tough, we want to honor that experience or honor that part of them. We want to deeply acknowledge it. By honoring what is shitty or not so great or not so savory, we help our client in a couple of ways. We help them feel validated in what they're feeling or experiencing. We help them know that they have a right to feel how they are feeling. We help them know that they're not abnormal, they're not, in a pathology for feeling the way that they do. When we honor what is, we help a client become aware of or connect more deeply with what they're really feeling or experiencing. By honoring what is, we help our clients accept their situations more deeply or accept themselves more deeply. Now, accepting doesn't mean that they can't also change it if they want to, but acceptance needs to happen first. By honoring what is, we help our clients trust themselves more deeply and feel more nourished. So here are some examples of how honoring what is could sound. Let's say a client just shared something that was really tough. You might say, that must have been really frustrating, right? Or that sounds really, really tough. I'm so sorry that that happened. Or I know you worked really hard on that and it makes perfect sense that you're disappointed right now. Or another example is, I totally get why you'd be really angry about that. I feel your sadness with you. Another example, this one is like more specific, but it'll give you kind of an example. It can be, let's say a client was just talking about their boss. It can be so painful when we have an employer who never acknowledges our strengths, right? That's honoring what is. Right now is a super busy time. You have so much on your plate. You've moved beyond that relationship. It makes sense that it's bringing up so many different emotions. I have a little bit of a potty mouth, you might not. Sometimes in a session, I'll say, wow, that would have surprised the shit out of me too. Sounds like you held your composure in a really, really tough situation. I really wanted that for you too, and I'm sorry it didn't happen yet. Right, so those are, and there are many more, but those are different examples of honoring what is. When we honor what is, our clients are able to feel seen and heard and loved, and they feel a deeper connection to us. When they feel that deeper connection to us, that can create more vulnerability and willingness to have a breakthrough. When we honor what is, it also allows the client to see more deeply what is going on for them and then to process it and then to take actions to move forward if need be. When we honor what is, our clients can acknowledge and honor their own experiences and feelings. And sometimes literally or metaphorically, when we as the practitioner honor what is, we can feel that deep sigh of relief coming from the client, right? Like, oh, I don't have to pretend. There's full honesty here. It's out of hiding, like how I really feel, and I can be seen and loved in this or in this situation. What I'm about to say next is really important. Honoring what is a tool that helps us not bypass our clients or use toxic positivity, which is a way of bypassing our clients. We don't want to be love and light practitioners. There's nothing wrong with in the right moments for love and light. I want to be clear about that. But we don't want to be only love and light practitioners. That is not really seeing and hearing and loving our clients and their full experience. Certain practitioners, if you're always in love and light mode, you know, a client will say something and they might say, oh, there's no need to be angry, or, oh, it's not so bad, or, you know, that your employer meant well and so it's okay, or like you don't want to be the kind of person that, you know, feels grief all the time or whatever that is, right? That is not helpful for the client. So when we honor what is, one thing that we're doing is having empowered compassion, or empowering compassion, I should say. Honoring what is, it's not like going down into the dumps with your clients and having a pity party, right? It's empowering compassion and empowering validation. Sometimes a client needs this way more than what we traditionally think of coaching, which is like cheerleading them. It is cheerleading them on, but in a much more real way when the moment calls for it. We want to find that balance between honoring what is and holding a client in their strength and in their wholeness and completeness. The two can exist in the same place. Honoring the crappy or the hard or the tough, while also really seeing your client in their strength and their wholeness and their completeness. This can be so powerful for a client. If we don't have those two things together, then we can move into like pitying or like seeing the situation, like seeing the wounding or the pathology in it, right? And that's not helpful. We want that empowering compassion. Okay, I see lots of stuff is happening in the chat. So let me take a look there. Michaelyn's asking the last example I gave of honoring what is. I really wanted that for you too. If something didn't work out. All right, Rachel is asking, will you talk about how to acknowledge what is, will you talk about how to acknowledge what is, right? When the client is feeling a lot of shame. Rachel, can you come on for a second? Because I want to just make sure I answer the question that you're asking. I just want
to. Yeah. And the second part that I put there in the chat, like I don't want to validate shame like I would other emotions. Like there's something that needs to be like countered or shifted there. And so that's the thing I like when I'm working with clients and they bring up these feelings of shame. Like I'm thinking in my head, like, oh my gosh, that's total, like in the case of my clients, like all this oppressive bullshit. And like, I feel all of that. But I'm just not sure like what to say in those kinds of moments.
Yeah, it's such a great question. So there are a couple of ways, you know, depending on the moment, always coach the what based on the who, but there are a couple of ways you can handle that. So one way is to say like, sounds like you're holding a lot right now, or yeah, however you want to say it, this sounds so tough, or this feels like so much right now, right? And then instead of you naming like, oh, it's shame or, you know, whatever it is, you can say like, how would you name how you're feeling right now? And then you can go with however they name it and then honor that. But, and then, you know, while you're honoring their strength as well, I think that's the important part, and then go from there. So that's one way. The other way is, remember, energy follows energy. So if we as practitioners aren't pathologizing shame, if we understand that it is a normal part of what can come up for a human being and that it can also be a passing thing, then it can be easier to say something like, sounds like it's really hard right now. And tell me if I'm getting this right, but it also sounds to me like you're feeling a lot of shame. Is that what I'm hearing here? And then from there, that can open up an exploration of, is that like outside messaging, like you're saying that, you know, they're taking, and, you know, but then you can go deeper by naming the thing. I don't want to say never. I want to talk in absolutes, but thinking about Harry Potter, if you've read Harry Potter, it's like, you know how nobody but Harry wanted to say Voldemort's name, but there was power in naming Voldemort. There is power in naming things when done with compassion and seeing your client as whole and complete. How does all of that land for you?
That's good. I feel like I'm curious. I think I have enough of the next piece to play with that in my next session when it comes up. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, and let us know how it goes and what comes up and what more there is there. It's such a great question.
I am seeing space for my clients to bring something, and there's some piece of questioning there that I think that they might be able to undo some of the gaslighting themselves. Like, I don't have to take on that job.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, sometimes yes, but absolutely there can be sort of like the easy reflection or the honoring what is, and then asking the follow-up question from there. The honoring what is will oftentimes soften the client, so then they're ready for the question and to find that deeper answer for themselves.
Thank you.
Yeah, great question. Okay. Let me say a couple more things and then I'll open up for some more cues on this. So I gave a lot of different examples of words for honoring what is and phrases. But what I also, the piece that's also important to look at is that the energetics, your energetics as the practitioner, when you deliver honoring what is, that's key. Like, energetics are always supreme, right? So in order to be effective in honoring what is, one energetic piece that you want in place or in being in process of being put in place is being comfortable with holding space for another person's pain or grief or disappointment or anger. So let me ask you, is there something about somebody else's pain or grief or disappointment or anger that scares you or triggers you? How comfortable are you holding space with someone in the shadows? Take a moment and think on that. Here's another piece around energetics to think about, and no judgment at all. This is just for your own awareness. Do you tend towards love and lighting? Are you kind of like mostly love and lighter? And if so, how is that helpful or not helpful? Barbara.
Good morning. When you said that about love and light, I had commented about how I think sometimes that's kind of false positivity. But I wanted to say that how I think about that love and light is kind of an abstract truth, but the concrete truth of what somebody's experience, I tend to focus more on the concrete things in life. And so if I focus on that concrete experience the person's having, I can hold it within the abstract truth of love and light. And I actually think that's more complicated than just those words for me, but I can hold it there without imposing it, because it's kind of, it's in alignment with the concept of people being whole and complete. Yes. Even if they're having this extremely painful or trying, yes. you know, horrific yes. time, even, you know, it's really about respecting what is that client saying their experiences, and you know, from that level, that's that concrete, and so I don't have to get into that. Basically spiritual bypassing.
Yeah, so beautifully said, and I love that. And another piece that I hear in what you're saying, and this is so important, is that we can honor what is while also holding hope and opportunity for change. The two can exist at once. Beautiful, nicely said. Okay, let me ask a couple more questions around this to think about. Take a moment, if you can, kind of sense for yourself, what does it feel like in your body to hold space for someone's, again, for lack of better words, for shitty things for someone else? What does it feel like in your body to hold space for somebody else's pain or grief? And how might it feel in your body to hold that space in a really solid way? If it helps to close your eyes to get a felt sense of that, please do. Yeah, present, expansive, grounding, expansive. Ayana saying, when I'm consciously doing it with clean boundaries, it feels wonderful and empowering. I agree with all of that. I love, sounds so weird to say, I love to hold space for people's pain, but I do, when we can come from that place of being grounded, it's such a beautiful, sacred, I think it's one of the biggest gifts we can give another human being. Mike Lynn's saying, I've been taught to throw my energy behind me when the client needs space. Holding space for deep feelings means I put my energy forward, toward, and into the client space momentarily. Beautiful. Amy, I'm trying to stay in my core. Yeah. All right, one more question around this. And again, just we'll do one of these kind of inner exploration, you know, for awareness questions. When it comes to yourself, are you generally able to hold both the shitty things and your strength and wholeness and completeness at once? Or when you're holding the shitty for yourself, does the wholeness and completeness go out the window? All right, let's pause here. I'd love to hear voice to voice from one or two of you, what you're really seeing and taking away, what's coming together for you on this topic of honoring what is. What feels important here before we move on to celebrating? Janae.
just realized I've been sitting here with my camera off this whole time. Sorry about that. I'm so sorry. Somebody, can I come back? There's somebody, I have a dog in the backyard and somebody's coming.
Yes, yes,
can you circle back? Thank you.
Absolutely.
So sorry.
That's okay. Who else wants to share? What are you seeing? What's coming together around this topic of honoring what is? What feels important here? Michaelyn.
I think this is just such a key component of holding both. And I put in the chat, like, this is such a core piece of my work. Like, parts work is something that, you know, therapists do. I use that concept a lot in my work. And I had a teacher who actually calls it the delicious dilemma. Like, taking these two things that they seem like they're opposite and they feel like they're opposite and they look like they're opposite and everyone will tell you that they're opposites, but they're actually not. And if you can just hold that tension for a little while, then there's a shift that will take place naturally. And I think that's the holding space for me. And if the client is almost there, like if you can just be silent or just reflect or acknowledge or do some of the things we've been talking about today, their own truth will come, their own, you know, merging of that duality comes together. And I think that's the essence of healing for me.
Yeah, so beautifully said. I couldn't agree more. And I love that delicious dilemma. It's a great phrase. Lada.
It's really... amazing what Michaelyn just said. When you just asked, you know, how do we feel in our body when we hold space for others, I realized, like, I did not come to my body first went into how I feel when difficult truths are revealed, people are sharing this this uncomfortable something uncomfortable with them, and I actually experienced first how I actually feel, not how I would do it more successfully. So I felt like a lot of sadness, a lot of like holding my body tense and up a little bit, sort of away from grounding. And I realized, like, wow, this is energetically, it explains why energetically it's so hard for me to... Yes. To really, truly, I want to hold space for them, but, and I'm not a real coach necessarily. So this is mostly kind of it comes to real to personal situations rather than per se coaching situations, say in yeah. musical situations, which I think I'm more able to be that accepting support. But yeah, just trying to actually shift in my energetics.
Well, yeah. So that's what I was going to say. That can be a practice, right? Yeah. Just that alone, practicing that shift in your body, right? Like imagining holding a space for harder emotions, for the shadows, and then moving in your body presence to that energy that you want to be in when you hold it. That is beautiful practice to be done.
Yes, absolutely. So I imagine this like warm pool of lovely water that can just, you know, be there for the person to relax into. And yeah, that would be my practice.
Good. Deva.
This is so valuable. Thank you. I feel like, you know, I come from a background of 18 years of doing body work and a lot of spiritual healing where we would work with plants and prayers. And so I feel like I have this combination of both being more like moving toward the love and light, like trying not to let people spiral into the grief, but holding, like, you know, when I was doing sessions, having a set container that they would come into, and a lot of reproductive health work as well that had a lot of trauma involved. So in my my former main mentor would say, you know, solely talk therapy is like throwing somebody a life vest that's drowning, but not pulling them in. And so I'm seeing where my skills at doing more talk therapy haven't been polished. It's not masterful in the way that you're instructing us to really be able to move people into their own wisdom. So it's a beautiful bridge, I think, of using the coaching with, you know, and then I also use sound healing. And so how, for me, what my takeaway is how to more masterfully dialogue and then offer a transformative tool to bring them through a deeper process. And yeah, and that marrying of those.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that this is dropping in now, and I'm excited to see how that's gonna evolve in your sessions. Beautiful. Okay. All right. I know this, we could spend two sessions just on honoring what is, but we're gonna move on to celebrating right now. Funny to put them both in the same call, but again, like holding the word paradox is coming up a lot in the chat, right? Like we're humans that are complex and can hold the paradox, and celebrating is another way of acknowledging our clients. When I say celebrating, what I mean is celebrating their accomplishments, celebrating who they are, celebrating their strength, celebrating their resources, championing them, cheering them on, acknowledging all that they have to be grateful for, if that's something that is appropriate for them. We as practitioners want to celebrate wins, and not just big wins when a client has a big win, but small wins too. Wins that are outer wins, like accomplishing this outer thing, but also inner things and inner shifts. We want to celebrate amazing things that happen to them, whether it's because they made it happen or because it just happened. We want to celebrate forward movement. We want to celebrate when our clients reach their goals. We want to celebrate their resources, their skills, their talents. When appropriate, we want to celebrate the gold in the middle of the crap. We want to acknowledge and honor what is the crap. We don't want to bypass that. But then in the right moment, we want to celebrate the gold in it. We want to celebrate when a client makes a decision to go for something stretchy. Celebrating, I just said honoring what is one of the most important skills you can have. I mean, these all are. Celebrating is also one of the most important skills you can have. It is so effective and powerful. So when we can celebrate, and in effective ways, we're going to look at that, it can be just so powerful to help clients reach their goals. And even more than reaching our goals, reaching their goals, which is important, it can be so powerful in helping clients accept and honor all of who they are. Why is this such an important skill, celebrating? Because success and successful actions often are inspired by really seeing and owning what's working and what's going well. When we are able to effectively celebrate with our clients, we help foster confidence. We help foster self-love. We help foster self-compassion. We help foster hope. We help foster satisfaction, deeper satisfaction. Celebrating helps our clients feel seen and heard and loved and respected. And all of this can lead to motivation, to being connected to inner wisdom, and to having more to access to the resources that are already there. In my opinion, and you can check this out if this rings true for yourself. Remember, I said on our very first call, anything that I share isn't the truth with a capital T. It's for you to check out for yourself. In my opinion, leveraging assets is way more important than fixing deficiencies. When we celebrate, we support a client to leverage their assets. We help them acknowledge that this is an asset, and then it's much more easy to leverage it. In a lot of schools, elementary schools and middle schools, you'll see they have what's called a strengths-based philosophy. And that's similar to what I'm talking about right now, that leveraging assets are important, more important than fixing deficiencies. You get more bang for your buck that way. Here's the other reason why I feel that celebrating is such an important tool to use a lot. It's because I really believe that part of our job isn't only to help our clients to their goals, but to support them in learning and integrating essential life skills. And when we bring celebrating into the container, it supports clients to internalize the skill of celebrating and acknowledging themselves. It helps clients internalize that skill. Okay. So it sounds easy enough, rah, rah, we celebrate our clients, woo, right? But here's the thing. Human beings have trouble celebrating. Like, this is a place where a practitioner can actually go very wrong. If you want to be very masterful in your celebration skills. Because people, human beings, most human beings really have a lot of trouble celebrating themselves. So you want to understand a little bit about the human behavior behind celebrating in order to really use this skill and this tool effectively. When celebrating isn't used, I don't know, for lack of a better word, I'll say correctly, or if you don't understand the human behavior on this one, then you can go to celebrate a client and they can end up shutting down, or you can go to celebrate them and it can end up pissing them off, or you can go to celebrate them and they can end up losing trust in you, or you can go to celebrate them and they can end up like agreeing outwardly, but not really taking it in. Like, it didn't really make an impact. So why do people have trouble celebrating? There's a lot of reasons why people have trouble celebrating. Number one, in general, in society, we tend to focus on the negative and on what isn't working. For some people, they kind of get an icky feeling when they're being celebrated and acknowledged. It's like a don't see me, it's not true. you know, if you or I believe this wonderful thing about me now, then it's not going to happen again, or I'm going to end up looking like a fraud because it's just, it's not true, right? So don't celebrate, don't see me. Some people have trouble celebrating because they don't want to set themselves up to be hopeful and then fail. Some people have trouble celebrating because along the way they were taught that it's obnoxious to think really highly of themselves and their accomplishments. Or even more, that it hurts others if you have good things going on. Some people have trouble celebrating because of the evil eye. They might have grown up. That's a, in Judaism, you know, whenever we say something good, then we kind of spit, like that didn't just happen, right? So the evil eye doesn't get us. Sometimes people have trouble celebrating because they don't see that this thing about them is really amazing. They just actually don't think it's that good. Some people have trouble celebrating because they haven't learned how to receive. They haven't learned how to take in and to take in goodness. Barbara, did you have a question?
I just wanted to kind of add, like, for me, there's this nuance where if somebody celebrates me for something that is very easy in my skill level, I think they don't know me very well. So, you know, it's like, don't give me a participation award, you yeah. know? and so if you hadn't touched on that, I just wanted to say that, because it's like, I actually don't have a problem celebrating what I see as my achievements. Like, you know, oh, I got an, you know, an essay published. Woo, awesome. I'm really happy about that. I'm proud of that. And I'm fine with somebody acknowledging me for that. But if it's like, I don't know, you woke up today, I don't need that level of celebration. And I mean, I can't think of a good example, but.
Right, yes, so. And I'm so glad you're bringing this up. And the distinction that I was making is sometimes for some people, like let's say your whole life, you've been really intuitive and you just take that for granted. And you don't really own that inside of yourself because it's just like, oh, it's this thing that I didn't have to work for. That is something to be celebrated. I'm trying to think of another example. You've just been through a really tough moment and you are still waking up in the morning and getting through the day, right? Like for some situations, that is something to really acknowledge and honor and celebrate. So yes, for sure, we don't want to like, it's not just like the participation, like rah, rah, but there's so often times as human beings where we aren't actually owning how incredible we are. And that's the important piece. Good. All right, so let's look at some inner questions around this. Take a moment and journal on this one. How and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? I'll pop that in the chat. How and how often were you honored and celebrated by your family of origin? Alta Singh, you were celebrated often, so much so that your older siblings still harbor resentment about it. So I always love to ask these inner questions, for inner exploration, but also so that we can understand kind of a broader spectrum of human experience and what our clients might be coming, you know, with. And some might be coming that, and there may be a discomfort because of that, right? Ayana Singh, I wasn't celebrated and honored by my family of origin. Yeah, a lot of people are coming with that. Afka Singh, I was celebrated in secret by my mom because my dad didn't like those things. Very confusing. Yeah, and now it causes stress. Celebrated by one side, put down by the other. Yeah. Sophie's saying, I feel like I wasn't celebrated for who I really am in my family. Yeah. Veronica saying, in my family, I was celebrated for things that felt like traits and not achievements. So I came away with a lot of perfectionism. Birthdays and graduations. Yeah. And here's another question to think about. When you were celebrated, what was the motivation? Was it to truly be supportive of you? Was it to pretend that everything was okay when it really wasn't? Was it, you know, like blowing sunshine up your ass? Was it to pressure you to continue to perform well? Was it, some of this was in the chat, was it to compare you to your siblings or others in your family? Was it something else? So when you were celebrated, what was the motivation, right? Because the motivation is the energetics. It is the energetics, and it can really color how we and our clients feel about being celebrated. Yeah, not truly genuine, only for outer things. Good job, but yeah. Emily, no, that doesn't sound odd at all. That's one of the reasons why I'm asking the question, having the sense that when you were celebrated, it was about your parents, the good job that they're doing raising me. I don't think that's odd or out of the ordinary at all. Seen that a bit. Celebrated in front of other people so my parents could look good. Yeah, but was often emotionally punished by a parent who felt outshined. Yes. All right, let me ask a couple more questions. How did your parents or other role models celebrate or not celebrate themselves or their accomplishments? How did your parents or other role models celebrate or not celebrate themselves or their accomplishments? How is this modeled for you? How is celebrating oneself modeled for you? Yeah, they didn't celebrate themselves. They just worked. Yeah. I love that Alta, that parties were thrown. Yeah, Ayana saying parents didn't celebrate themselves. Celebrating is unnecessary. We just need to get on with it. Depression era children, work, work, work. It was always around alcohol. Self-praise stinks. Yeah. How about this one? How did role models or authority figures respond to you if you celebrated yourself? Were they happy? Did they somehow communicate to you that you were getting too big for your britches? Were they scared you might jinx yourself or something else? How did role models or authority figures respond to you if you celebrated yourself? They stopped it. Yeah. I always felt supported by others. I celebrate myself. What's that? Yeah. Yes, but. Knocked back down. Who do you think you are? Yep. Yep. I'm glad that's coming through, Emily. It's important, yeah. Okay, one last question, inner question here for now. Oh, I felt like I needed to be perfect to celebrate, yeah. So again, I ask these questions for our own self-exploration, but also so we can kind of see all the different things that our clients are coming to us with, you know, so we are not surprised, and we can start to understand different things about our clients to know how to celebrate them and what is going to be effective. Okay, last question on this for now. How do you receive compliments? Some of you have already mentioned some of this, but if you haven't yet, how do you receive compliments? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We still have a bit to do in the last 12 minutes that we have left today, but I do want to hear just from one of you, voice to voice, what's coming together? What's feeling, what are you seeing that's feeling really important so far around our discussion of celebrations? Who wants to share? What's feeling important? What's really coming together so far? Afka.
Amit, hi. About a year ago, I was in a workshop where there was a lot of appreciation and celebrating of you as a person and all of that. And for about 2 months after that, I went on a complete self-destruct mode. And I've never actually linked these two incidents up until now, that it made me so sick, actually. And I felt so ashamed for being abnormal and not being able to take in all these nice comments and all this praise, and yeah, how destructive it was. Such something that was meant to, intended on the part of the practitioner to be something beautiful and heart opening, and it killed me.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that happened. And this doesn't mean that celebrating, again, I'm going to say like celebrating is so important, but we always, we want to do it in a way that our client is ready to receive it. So
a huge eye opening. Thank you for this topic. It's made a lot of connections all of a sudden.
Good. I'm so glad. Michaelyn.
I'm just wondering if I'm oppositely wired in some way, because for whatever reason, I think I'm pretty cool. And when people like honor me and give me a compliment, like there's a part of me that goes,
that's awesome.
And so, And then I'll make myself sort of small so that I don't, you know, go too much into it. And then have them say, oh, she's so egotistical. I'm never going to compliment her again. It's like, there's supposed to be this tit for tat. That's what's coming up for me. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all awesome. I know that we all have gifts. We're all wonderful in different ways, but sometimes it's appropriate to like toss it back. And sometimes it isn't.
Yeah.
But sometimes I always feel like there's
about taking it in and letting it be, right? And not have it have to be a tit for tat. That's sometimes the more authentic thing. So I want to celebrate you for being totally comfortable with being celebrated. That's awesome. That's amazing, right? So yeah, well done. Janae.
I think this is really interesting because accepting compliments was not easy in my past. And I can see, you know, because I would have my father say, oh, good job, but, you know, this criticism or whatever, right? That criticism. And so then I learned that it's a really bizarre, you know, thing to learn, but it's not polite to accept a compliment because it's both, it's like saying, yes, I am like fantastic or whatever. And so then it's this opposite, you know, when it is polite to say thank you to the person complimenting you and to accept their gift, right? But it's fascinating how this, of course, feeds into not enoughness and perfectionism and all kinds of other, you know, imposter syndrome, what have you, right? So it's just this fascinating toxin to release yourself from. It's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's so much to this. And I saw a little bit of this. I can't, not catching everything in the chat, but this Mama Gina practice of when you have a compliment, I always notice like just taking it in, right? Like, thank you, it's true, right? Or whatever it is. And so anyone that has trouble with compliments, I want to invite you to practice that over the next few weeks, right? When you get accomplishment, thank you. When you get a compliment, thank you, it's true, right? Just see how that lands for you. Rachel.
I'm thinking about and wondering how, like, within the coaching context, we can invite more like opt-in or autonomy even around praise. I'm thinking about like a practice when I was teaching, my team would assign, instead of the normal homework that we were required to, we would, for like the 3 weeks before Valentine's Day, kids would write compliments to each of their classmates. So we'd like talk about what makes a good compliment, and they had all this time to observe one another and think about you know, what they appreciated about one another. And then when they would open their compliments on Valentine's Day, they'd read through them, and then we'd go around a circle and they would just read aloud their favorite compliment, like the one that struck them the most.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I wonder how that could translate to coaching. Like, where's a way that we can, and I have no idea of the answer to that question. Ideas if anyone has them.
Yeah, so that's why I wanted to take a look a little bit at that. So it's perfect segue in. And I love, you know, what you just described. And so, you know, one take on that, well, I'll share a couple of things and I'll come back, Rachel, and see. I'm a little conscious of time, so I'm going to start talking a bit faster. So if a client has trouble celebrating themselves and you sense that they're not totally in it, or they might need a nudge, you do want to work it in, like Rachel is saying. So here are some ways, and we'll hear some others as well. But sometimes after I've acknowledged, I've reflected a celebration, I might say to a client, you know, if it makes sense, I might say to a client, can you take that in? Or if I sense that they're not really taking it in after I reflect a celebration, I might say, how are you taking that in? And then that can open up, allow us to look at the resistance together and open up an exploration around it. If it's a client that I know, you know, traditionally is working on taking it in more deeply and, you know, has maybe had some trouble, I might say something like, I know that sometimes you have trouble honoring yourself. So I want to share this reflection and see if you can take it in. Or sometimes I might say to a client, put a hand on your heart. If it's okay, close your eyes. And what is it that you want to breathe in and honor about yourself? Right, and you can also do that without the bringing it to the somatic level that way, but say like, what is it? What do you want to honor your celebrate around this situation? Rachel, does that give you some ideas? Are you there? Are you nodding?
Yeah. I'm hearing the invitation of the question of what you want to honor in yourself.
Yeah. And again, like we can use celebrations, right? There's always, as I've said a couple of times already, there's always two threads or two journeys going on when you're coaching. It's like getting to the stated goal, you know, all of that, and then teaching the new skills and the ways of being. So when you celebrate, if you're using your deep listening skills and a client is having trouble taking it in, it's a beautiful opportunity to open up a discussion around it, right? And to go deeper there. Okay, a couple other things I want to just make sure I mention. Always only celebrate your client if you are really feeling it as a celebration, and always with honesty and not exaggerated, because they will know you're just blowing sunshine up their ass if it comes from any place other than an authentic place. I always, in prep forms for sessions, one of the questions I asked is, what do you want to celebrate since we last met? It's this ongoing building the skill of celebrating. As things come up in sessions, I'm going to reflect them and point them out. Sometimes a celebration is a simple congratulations, right? That's awesome. Congratulations on that. Another way of celebrating sometimes is like telling a client, wow, that really inspired me. Like that story that you just shared, it really moved me, or it really inspired me. That's a way of celebrating. Okay, we're at time, so I will end there. If you have a moment, please jot down, what are you taking away from our call today? What's a big takeaway from our time together today? I'll hang on for a couple of minutes to hear it or read it in the chat. You'll have a homework worksheet, a resource worksheet. If you're working with a coaching partner, continue to practice your creating awareness techniques, practice mirroring, facting and consulting, reflecting truths, honoring what is, and celebrating as appropriate. And then in your reflection time, discuss specifically the different ways that awareness was created, what worked well, and what could be tweaked. I'll hang on for a couple minutes if anybody has any questions or last thoughts. If not, I will see you not next week. We have an integration week, but the week after we'll have our creating awareness practicum. Sending you all a lot of love. Janae.
It's fascinating, and I love that you put both the celebration with the holding space of the, you know, challenging, heavy, what might be happening. And is there a sign that it's just not time to go there? Is there a sign that a client, because I tend to want to go, and I worry about pushing too much to,
or the celebration, you mean?
Whether it's the celebration or the challenge, you know, it's fascinating how society has made feeling these feelings not okay, right? So we are normalizing it and making it okay. Is there a sign we should look for where it's just not time? It's just not.
Yeah, it's a great question. So, well, let me start with the celebrating piece. You know, if a client is in distress, you know, if they're crying hysterically about something that just happened, right? Or like a pain that they're, you know, that they're experiencing, or a loss, or, you know, they're just in a lot of distress about it. That's obviously, that's a moment to honor what is. You're not going to like find the rainbow in that moment.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you want to kind of look for like the context, and, you know, distress is not a moment for celebrating. Yeah. That would be bypassing. And then with the honoring what is, I'm thinking about that one, because there's a part of me that wants to say there's always, you know, if a client is sharing it, like it's always a moment to honor what is. I don't know, I have to think about that. There might be, but let me get back to you on that. You okay. Think about it too, and yeah. Everybody else. There might be. Let's all think about it.
Okay. Thank
but you. I think the bigger, you know, overarching piece I'll say is always use your deep listening skills. And listening isn't just for situation, it's listening for energy and what a client is open, you know, when a client is open or when a client has shut down, and that will let you know how quickly to proceed or how to, you know, take it more slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great question. All right. I'm going to read all of the whole chat when we're done here. Sending you all lots of love. Coaching ain't for sissies. I did just keep that, catch that in the chat. It's so true. As things come through, let us know in the Facebook group. Let us know what is coming together and what's resonating. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.